Welcome to Band of Brothers Radio, your internet outpost, supplying refuge, hope, and biblical counsel for men in the midst of daily battles and where no man is left behind.
Jesus died for our sins. His blood will wash away these stains. He died to give you freedom. So why do you still wear those chains, 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 chains?
This is Band of Brothers Radio.
Good day and welcome to Band of Brothers Radio. You have come to that location once again where we talk about the real issues that men face on a daily basis. It's about being transparent, brutally honest, and biblically sound in offering both hope and help for men. Yes, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. That's how this thing works. I believe that's how Jesus actually had designed it to work. He's all about relationship. So it's all about relationship in our lives, brother. And today we have a topic that maybe we don't necessarily think about. Maybe we just do it just automatically. It's kind of ingrained in us. Maybe it's something we do without even thinking about it. But we're going to talk about contentment. Is this a good thing? Is this something that is biblical? Is this something that we ought to strive for? Or is this something that can put us in a position where we actually stop growing and stuff? But we need a lot of different voices to be able to give us different perspective and stuff. And I brought a voice in here today. Let me open up the box here. It's Joel.
Good morning, day, brother. It's good to be here.
Hey, come on, smile a little bit.
I got a big smile on my face. You just can't see it because we're on the radio.
Oh, that's it. Both of us are, we have faces for radio, right? As
right.
They would say, yes, there we go. As we'll keep it that way, too. Actually, Felix said to me, Pastor Felix said, maybe we ought to put videos in here and do this live with video at the same time.
I'll stop coming.
Yeah, you wouldn't have to. Actually, if you just shaved a little bit and trimmed it up, you'll be fine. It's all good. Smile.
Not after that comment.
All right. So, contentment. You shot me over an email or a text last night and said, hey, let's talk on contentment. And
yes.
Stuff. So,
yeah.
Was there a specific area or something in particular about contentment that you that was drawn to your heart, I should say?
Not really. I mean, it's just a general broad term, contentment. And it can be applied to many areas of our life, you know, our spiritual walk, you know, how we live, money, our things. It's part of the heart, you know.
Yes.
It's a heart issue.
Yep.
And we really need to search our hearts and see what we are satisfied with in our lives.
Yes, yes. Now, when you're talking about being content, as you have been, well, first of all, in the dictionary, it says that contentment is the state of happiness and satisfaction. In other words, this is where it's at. Hey, I'm on the beach. I'm in a hammock. I've got a cold drink. The sun is shining. The temperature is right. Everything is good, right?
Well, I read a definition of contentment that says a state of happiness and satisfaction with what you have, with the situation you are in.
Oh, being in reality, not
yes,
dreaming about
that's
it.
That's right.
Okay.
That's right.
So there is a difference.
There is a difference.
Yes.
There really is. You
yes.
know, I heard a quote that says, you know, all I ever want is just a little more than all I'll ever have. And
yes,
that's
yes,
that
yes.
really speaks to a reality.
Yes, for a lot of us,
for all of us.
Yeah, because that's something that we actually. This is why, in some cases, we sit there and we go, "My goodness, why is it?" In looking in hindsight, that I've actually, if you're working and you have purpose in a specific area of our lives, that all of a sudden we kind of back down a little bit because it's like, "Oh, okay, you know, I've got this." You know, I was in sales. Where you didn't make a paycheck unless you sold something, Okay. And so, in other words, you're based on you completely and your ability to be able to sell a product or whatever that might be. And in a sense that you come to find out very quickly whether you've got what it takes to do that sort of thing. And in some cases, I was gifted with that ability to be able to do that. And as a result of it, it would scare other people that don't have that. How can you do that? Just rely on, you just do it. This is not about that. But my point being is that I remember being with the thought that if I ever wanted to make more money, all I had to do was work more. Okay.
Yeah.
And so I had the control of how much money I want to make. You know, it just depends on how much time and effort I want to put into it, right? So there's always a consequence as a result.
There is always a big consequence to it.
So with this, when I'm thinking about contentment, you get to that place of even in our walk with Christ, because that's what we're here to talk about, right? Where we can all of a sudden say, you know what? Everything's good. I'm all right. And I think I'm just going to coast right here, right? And that looks different for each individual, right?
Yeah, it really does. You know, there's also me recently, my walk with Christ is not being content with where I am, with where I'm at in the situation, with where he has me right now.
Yes.
When I was trying to find a church, I wasn't content with the church I was at. I always found something wrong. Well, the sermon isn't just right. Well, this fellowship isn't just right. You go to a different church. Well, this worship isn't just right how I want it. And you're looking for that perfect church. Well, I tell you what, I've never found it.
I don't think there is one.
I don't think there is. Well, is.
They may be perfect until we walk in the doors.
There you go. There you go. No, one day we will be in the perfect church,
yes,
in the house of God.
Yes.
You know, but the truth of the matter is I wasn't content with my situation.
Yeah.
So, you know, in retrospect, I missed out on a lot of stuff by keep moving around. You know, you miss out on building those roots in a church, on developing friendships.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't stay long enough to do that, because nothing's ever perfect.
That's right.
You know, now I've come to a church where maybe the sermon isn't what I want it to be. Maybe the music isn't what I want it to be. Maybe the fellowship isn't always what I want it to be. But when I look more than just myself, than just what I want,
mm-hmm.
and maybe look more at what Christ wants, where he has me, where his purposes and goals are, you know, you start to find some contentment. You start to find some satisfaction with where you're at in life.
So you're really talking about how we perceive things, how we see them, okay, and rather than how we desire them, in a sense, okay? And that moves on to the very next thing, to where we sit there and just go, okay, if I want to be like this person, maybe I ought to ask, especially if I see something in them that I admire or something about them going, man, I wish I was like that also. You go and you ask them, man, how did you get to this place of, you know, this part of your personality or being able to deal with life this way? How did you get to that? How did you get there? And most of the time we'll listen to the story because people are more than happy to share how that is. But somewhere inside listening to that story, I don't necessarily want to go through what they went through.
No.
I want the shortcut version. I want to be able to not have to suffer as much or be in as much pain or challenges of doing without. I want the shortcut version, right?
Well, but, you know, what you might not realize is when you get there, you might not be happy there. You might look back and say, hey, I was happier then. It reminds me of a story of a pilot flying over the mountains, and he looks down at this beautiful, pristine lake, and he says to his co-pilot, you know, when I was young, I used to sit in a rowboat down on that lake all day, watch the planes fly overhead, and wish that I would be flying that plane. Now all I do is look down at that lake and wish I was in a rowboat. You know, and so what it is we keep looking for more and more and more, and we miss what we have right now.
Yeah.
And then we look back and regret it.
Yeah. So actually, in a sense, contentment can actually be good, and it can be very painful in a sense. It's like a teeter-totter type.
It really is, but you have to find that perfect balance of being satisfied with what you have, but maybe also with our walk with Christ, not being content with just staying where you're at.
Yes.
And you have to find that balance. But it also carries into other parts of our lives. You know, do I make enough money? Well, I want to make more money. What are you going to sacrifice by making that more money? Your time, your family, your walk with Christ?
Right.
You know, it's... Sorry.
Lost my thought here.
Lost my thought. You look forward to more, and you miss what you have.
So the book of Matthew, Jesus talks about in chapter 6, verse 25. Let's see if I can pull up here on my ESV. It says, therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? You know, he's trying to let us know to be content with what you have today, you know, that it'll be okay. And he actually has everything in control, okay? Now, I think one of the key things here is our willingness to submit to him. Before I was a believer, before I actually came to Christ and said, my life sucks in a sense, right? I've made terrible decisions. I can't seem to get a handle on this. I've got too many worries and too many regrets, and I have resentment in my life, and I'm angry about everything, and nothing seems to be right, and I just want my life to be done in a sense, okay? Now, you get to that place that some people would say you're getting close to a bottom, right? I'm saying where you're saying I'm willing to look at something else or do something else or let something else take my life. In this case here, get to that place of knowing that there is Jesus. I heard the word. I knew about that. I knew that he is one, that a lot of people rely on him. So my own curiosity of whether or not this time I can make it different by actually seeking him.
Yes.
Being willing to submit and surrender to him.
Yes.
Like others say they have.
Yep. And now that's a situation in your life where not being content with your situation was a good thing.
Yes.
You know, you weren't content with where you were, and so you wanted more. You wanted Jesus. You wanted the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Now, once we get to that point, you know, Paul says, you know, that godliness with contentment is great gain. So once we find the Lord, where is our satisfaction then?
Mm-hmm.
Do we place it in him, or are we still placing it in the world?
Well, if we're placing it in the world, we know that in truth, that's not what the Bible's talking about.
No, it's not.
Yeah.
It's not. But, I mean, we can be honest believers in Christ and still seek after the things of the world. It's our sin in us that's desiring that kind of stuff.
Yes, yes.
And we need to realize that. We need to acknowledge that in our lives. You know, we need to acknowledge, do we have a love of money?
Mm-hmm.
You know, am I working so much that I'm not spending enough time with my family because I want more money?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I can say I want to buy my family better things. I want to donate more to the church. But is the truth that I love money? You know, Ecclesiastes 5:10 says, he who loves money will not be satisfied with money, nor he who loves wealth with his income. This also is vanity. You know, so no matter if you love money, you're never going to have enough.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and there's going to be prices you're going to pay for it. Mm-hmm. And you're not going to be the only one that pays that price.
Mm-hmm.
Those closest to you will pay that price.
Yeah. So and we know that the Bible talks about that the love of money, that's the root of
all evil.
Okay. And it's not money itself, it's
the love,
that desire of more and more. And like you said, it's kind of like you'll never be satisfied. You'll always continue. And we can all look at our own lives and recognize that, you know, to a certain degree, some greater than others, depending.
Right? When I was young and naive, you know, I used to think rich people must love money. Those with great wealth must love it. So those rich people obviously are not saved. They're sinners because they love money because they're rich. You know, it's the poor people that love God. It's the poor people that don't love money.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's not true. You can look in the Bible and look at Abraham. He was a man who ended up gaining great wealth.
Mm-hmm.
King David, Solomon, they were men with great wealth, but they didn't have a love of money.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's me. I'm living paycheck to paycheck. I'm poor. but I find that love of money in myself, even though I'm not rich.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so just because you have money doesn't mean you love money. It's the love of money mm-hmm. that is the root of evil and not the money itself.
So then what this all comes down to is that when we're talking about contentment, being content of being satisfied with what you have, is really a good place to be. It's kind of like being in the pocket. You know, you get a glove. I don't know if you play baseball or softball, but if you have a glove that you've had for years and years, there's something about when it moves around very easily in your fingers when you open and close it. And when that ball hits right in the pocket, you close that in. It just fits, and it's perfect, right? It's a perfect catch. And that's the same thing here, is that you want to be able to you know that being content with what you – being satisfied. But isn't there a part of us that continues to just say there's got to be more and I want more and I desire more? Well, let's take a break right now and then we're going to come back. Let's talk about some of these reasons and that we actually put down as our purpose, that we desire more, we want more than what we have, and why is that? We'll be right back. You're listening to Band of Brothers Radio.
Be all that God designed you to be. Band of Brothers Radio reminds you to check the For Men Only tab at faithplace.org for daily tips on becoming better husbands and fathers.
You're busy, and the last thing you want to worry about is lawn work. What if someone else took care of that for you? If you live in Northwest Washington, Kane's Lawn and Garden can take that job off your to-do list. With almost 30 years of experience, you know they have satisfied customers who continue to rely on them year after year. Kane's Lawn and Garden can provide as little or as much as you need. Mowing, edging, pruning, fertilizing, weed control, and even general property cleanup. Take advantage of special pricing right now. Request a quote by visiting their website, caneslawnandgarden.com. That's Kane's, spelled C-A-I-N-S, lawnandgarden.com.
I don't know about your body, but my body loves protein. That's right. And when I think about delicious protein, I think about Hempler's pepper bacon, Hempler's hams, Hempler's bun buster hot dogs, Hempler's chorizo, Hempler's chicken sausage. It's all so delicious, and I don't have to worry about extra fillers. The entire Hempler collection of smoked meats is completely free of allergens, gluten, and MSG, and is made with care from their family to yours, using the Hempler family tradition of slowly curing, cooking, and smoking their meat naturally over hardwoods. To learn where you can purchase your own Hempler's meat, visit Hempler's.com.
You wrote your name upon my heart. You knew me long before my life began. You still have a plan. And when I'm starting to forget, Jesus, you tell me who.
Welcome back to Band of Brothers Radio. Joel and Raul in the studio here, and we're talking on this, of course, the topic of contentment. And, you know, so often, you know, we set, and I don't know about you, Joel, but I know that a lot of guys, and you probably fall in this category too, because you're just like one of the other guys too, is that we get to a place, even if we were to like on a Sunday service, in a sense. You get to a service, and, man, the worship is hitting it on all the keys. Sounds really good. Takes you right to the throne. You just feel like, okay, you've sensed God's presence. The pastor brings up a topic or his sermon that is just hitting on all cylinders, and it's just like you're sitting there going, yes, yes, yes. And it's all about surrendering, submitting to the Lord, of course, and it even ends on a very good note, and people are just smiling and just say, wow, that was just so, I just needed to hear that. It was just filling up. We got filled up, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't take very long as you get in your vehicle, with your family or even by yourself, but whomever, and you're driving away before it starts to diminish. It's like the further you get away from that, it's like it just this long string that just starts getting tinier, smaller and smaller and thinner, and eventually just you forget about it because you got other things that are distracting you. Right.
You do. You have the world
yes.
distracting you with all of its desires and all of its promised pleasures.
Yes.
You know, all of its lies is what they are. You know, you might go home and watch the football game with your family after that. And then the commercials come on and they, you know, they show you this nice Porsche car that you need to buy. Look at this guy. He's driving this fast car. He's got this beautiful woman next to him. This guy is happy. This guy is satisfied with what he has.
Yeah.
Man, I wish I had that car. You know, or you watch one of those shows where they flip the houses and buy houses and stuff like that. Wow, mm-hmm. look at that $1 million home. Those people are happy with that house. Look at me in this, you know, $200,000 home or this $100,000
apartment.
You know, I'm renting right exactly. now. That guy's happy. I'm not happy with what yes. I have.
Yeah.
You're not happy with what you have. You're not happy with having a roof over your head. Yeah. Maybe one of those yeah. commercials needs to come on. That shows you the kids starving in Africa or something like that.
Well,
realize how blessed you are.
And you bring up some really good points. The fact is that we get so much, the world just inundates us. Okay. Now, I love this country. I love where I live.
Amen.
Okay? And, but because it is prosperous for a lot of reasons, there are continually things for us to look at, admire, envy in some cases, and dream about, and say, you know, it's like when they talk about the, you know, we were raised even back in old school to have the American dream, you know, that you own your own home and you put up a white picket fence around it, you know, and et cetera, et cetera. And you always hear about those things that you just try to keep up with the Joneses,
yeah.
so to speak, you know. And these are the things that we're surrounded with. Our parents were caught up in it, you know, growing up and or in our families, I should say. And so it was very, why should we think the same thing? Why should we desire, you know, those type of things, you know? Now, we weren't thinking anything, at least I wasn't raised this way. We believed in Jesus and everything, but we believed also that you can only, you know, have what you're willing to put forth the effort to get.
To work for.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, because you think you've earned it.
Yes.
You know, if I work hard enough, I'm going to get that house. Yes. I'm going to get that white picket fence.
Yeah.
Then you move into that house and you see the Joneses next door that has that nice vehicle. Well, I need to work harder because yes. I need that vehicle.
You know? And see, all the more, that same type of idea of how to accomplish receiving that or getting that is the same thing that we do about these comforts that are sinful, okay, when we desire our neighbor's wife or someone similar to.
Yeah.
Okay, we desire to be able to want to be able to win or to be able to accomplish something only if I told somebody a lie that they would believe and then be able to get, you know, help me to be able to receive this. Sinful behavior.
It is. You know, okay. Deuteronomy 5:21 says you shall not covet your neighbor's wife or desire his house, his field, male servant, female servant, ox, donkey, or anything of
yeah.
your neighbor's.
Yeah.
You know, God
yeah.
doesn't want us doing this.
Yes.
Yet we keep telling ourselves, I need more because that guy has more.
Yes.
I get what he has, I'll be happy. Well, you get what he has, and then you see someone with something bigger and better. Okay, I need that.
Yes.
I'll be happy.
Right.
When is enough?
Right.
Enough.
Right.
Desire his wife. I've been guilty of that.
Yes.
You know, I've not. You see someone. You see a woman. She's beautiful. You look at your wife. Man, my wife is so beautiful. And then you see another woman. Maybe she's wearing a skirt that's a little bit shorter than your wife. I wish my wife would dress like that.
Yes.
Maybe she's wearing a little bit more makeup. I wish my wife would, you know, dress herself up like that. Then you'd become not satisfied with your own wife. You become not content with your family. Well, that guy's kids are behaving right now while my, you know, kid is throwing a fit in the grocery store.
Yes.
I wish my kids would do that. I'm not content with my children anymore.
Mm.
You know, maybe I'm not satisfied with who I am.
Yeah.
You know, that guy, wow, look at him. He's big and ripped, and he spends a lot of time at the gym.
Mm-hmm.
I need to do that.
Yes.
You're not content with yourself. You're not content with your wife, your children, and all you want is more, more, more.
Yes.
I should say me. All yes. I want is more, more, more.
And the key here is that it leads to, it's pointing to a specific area of our lives that we truly need to be filled. I don't know about you. I used to share everybody in my recovery from alcoholism, and I was going through the process of things being disclosed, and I'm accepting, I'm making amends, and I'm moving forward and giving away and giving encouragement away to others who are seeking the same thing, and et cetera, et cetera. There was still a part of me that there was a hole in my gut, okay, and that I kept trying to get filled up with different things, whether it was material things or food things. You know, there was something that was I'm trying to, or sexual things, whatever it might be, to try to fill this hole.
Okay. That hole that you're trying to fill with food is called a tapeworm, just so you know.
Yeah, this one had a really big mouth, too. You know, it just kept going. So everything that was coming in was not – it was temporarily relieving or giving me satisfaction, but it was only temporary. And I had to continue doing certain things to be able to keep that fill. But it what that was not the answer. The answer I come to find out at in a specific year in my life that Jesus was actually the one that was able to fill that hole, okay? Now, we talk about that because that's what we talk about. This is all about Jesus. It's about our relationship with him. You know, we were talking in Matthew here where in chapter 6 where he had mentioned these things. He said, and I'm in verse 30, but if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not so much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that they need them all. But seek first. Here's the answer. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you.
Oh, so I want that car. All I got to do is just seek God and he'll give it to me?
Well, you know, here's the deal. The key is that if I still hold that in my head, that if I seek God, I'm going to get these things. It's the same thing, the same premise, but all I'm doing is trying to paint it a different way, trying to get in, find this is the way to get into this room is through Jesus Christ. And then once I get there, I'm going to get what I want. No. He will give us, as he talks in another part of the Bible, the desires of our heart. But that's only as a result. Who do I think I am? That I can convince God that I'm only really sneaking around and I'm trying to manipulate God? I'm really going to try to put him in this little box? Yes, I've done that. I've attempted that and thought so. Okay. Only to come to realize that that was failure. But it didn't happen until I truly sought him. But seek first, above all things, the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then all these things will be added to you. So in other words, I'm not going to have to worry about what kind of clothing I'm wearing. It's going to be that I have clothing so I can actually stay warm. Okay, it's not so much that I have enough money to be able to afford to go here or there, but I have the money that I need to be able to take care of my needs and the needs of my family today. Okay, and it's not so much that I need to have this boat and everything. Well, my heart's desire may be that I want to satisfy myself, but is it because I'm looking to pursue acceptance by other people, by the things that I have? Then all of a sudden I realize that all I need is Jesus. I don't need to get those approvals from everybody else. So look at the house that he's in. Wow, he's got to be a really good guy. No, that has nothing to do with it, you know. And that's where this relationship with the Lord begins to, he changes us as long as we're willing to allow him to do that.
There's the key. We have to allow him to. He's not going to force it upon us.
Yeah.
You know, maybe that person does have a nice house. Maybe it is a blessing from the Lord. But like you said, what's your reason for seeking the Lord? You know, in 1 Timothy 6:10, where it talks about the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, mm-hmm. It goes on to say it is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pangs. You know, and we see that. We see that a lot. disguised as a love for Jesus. When you see people preach the prosperity gospel,
yes.
You know, seek the Lord and he'll give you the desires of your heart. Well, that means if you seek God, he's going to make you rich. He's going to give you all this money. Well, Paul warns us from these false preachers. Paul warns us that there will be men that preach this kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Try to lure you away from the true faith that is Jesus, that only he will offer true satisfaction.
Go ahead.
But we have to find that. You know, we have to find that for ourselves.
Yeah.
You know, I have been pierced, I still am to this day, pierced with many desires of the world.
Right.
Because when I start looking at what the world tells me and I start believing that the world tells me, you know, they tell me I need this, they tell me I want this, I start to desire it. When I spend more time with the world and less time with the Lord, I desire the things of the world.
And, you know, there's something about the fact that, and we talked about, you and I have talked about this often. We're both in ministry work and we're around men who are that are just hungry for something. And they've been hungry for other things of the world, just as we have at different times. We're not perfect, that we can fall into the temptation all of a sudden that will lead us into a sin that it'll set us back and get us to feel shameful and guilty about what we've just done, thinking that, oh, this doesn't work for me anymore. This, or maybe this wasn't meant for me. So I might as well just go ahead and start. But that's part of what takes place. I think when we are disconnected from the fellowship, from others that are with us, to be able to remind us that they're not necessarily trying to run our lives, that they're actually trying to encourage us from their own stories and from their own experiences and seeing what they've seen in us as a result of that. You know, there's something about, you know, family. My brother and I, when we were growing up, we used to fight all the time. You know, that's mine, this is mine, no, I can't have it, and all this, or whatever it is. I've got the football now, you can't have it, you play with the basketball or whatever. But that's just an example. We were always fighting all the time. And we'd wrestle, we'd fight, literally, physically, rather. But we loved each other. We cared about each other. Because if somebody were to try to beat up my brother, or somebody was trying to get him to do something he shouldn't be doing, I was going to step in. And he would do the same. Okay, and that's part of where you sit there in fellowship in our walk with Christ. Our family members, we realize that they're the men that are around us in our lives that are actually that we've let in a little bit, and they desire to know more, and maybe they want us to know more of them, and you know, it's just kind of a, you know, back and forth type of thing. But it's a relationship, and as a result of it, we come to realize that what they're truly wanting to do is to be able to have a relationship, okay? The reason being is because that's part of our purpose. Jesus created us for that purpose of having a relationship with him. But we get an opportunity of being able to do it with, as I call it sometimes, Jesus in the flesh, right?
Other men.
Okay, that are right there for me to be able to help or assist or to be able to allow them to help me when I can be honest with them, saying this is what's going on. And these are the things the enemy doesn't want us to do. Oh, you don't have to do that. Go by that boat, then you'll have lots of friends that'll go out there with you on the boat, you know, and do things with.
It depends on what kind of friends you want to have around.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the important part, is you got to be careful about who you let into your life.
Yeah.
Are you going to let someone into your life that's only going to feed your desires for the things of the world? Or are you going to let someone into your life that's going to speak truth into your life? You might not like them for it. You might, you know, kind of, you know, be agitated when they speak that truth, because what's that? It's called conviction coming upon you. Yeah, I know he's speaking truth. I just don't want to hear it right now. You know, so we have to, you know, decide if we're going to let yes men into our lives, we're going to tell you, yeah, you want that, yeah, you need that, or if we're going to let true brothers of Christ into our lives.
You know, there's something about 2 Timothy, was it 2 Timothy that you were reading out of before, or was it 1 Timothy?
1 Timothy,
yeah.
6.
Well, in the second letter to Timothy, in chapter 3, and this is kind of how it talks about what it's going to look like toward the end days of our time here, okay? But understand this, Okay, Paul saying this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty. Okay, for people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving God, treacherous, you think we're done? We're not done yet. Reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness but denying its power. Avoid such people. Oh, my goodness. Those are all my friends.
Those are all me.
I know.
I've done every single one of those.
Yes, we all have. And that's what it says for people to avoid this kind of person, okay? And in truth, what it comes down to is that we are all of this. This is, by the way, that's in 2 Timothy. You can read it for yourself, chapter 3, okay, 1 through 5, okay? We sit there, and that's the ESV that I read. You read it in NIV or in Amplified or in NLT, the New Living Translation. It gives it in simpler English, in a sense, you know. But, wow, this is kind of how I've been, and I'm sitting there going, my goodness, I don't want to be that person anymore.
No, I don't.
And as a result of that, what takes place is that we start to realize that I need to get back on track. I don't want to live like this anymore because it's futile. I mean, it's kind of like being on trying to go up climb a flagpole that's been greased. It's just not going to happen. You can try as hard as you want and with whatever. It's just not going to happen. You're not going to be able to get up. You won't get any traction. I need traction today.
Okay, so I don't want to live like that anymore. I don't want to do that. So how do I stop? What do I do?
That's a good question, and we're going to come back and answer that question right after the break. We have to make sure we stay in timing with the producer. So we'll be right back, and we'll answer that question. You're listening to Band of Brothers Radio.
Men, don't fight your battle alone. Download our podcast to your iPod every day and take Band of Brothers Radio with you. We got your back covered.
Looking for another option for your internet service? Need a more reliable, high-speed internet? StarTouch is the premier provider of wireless broadband to businesses, government entities, schools, and residential customers in the Pacific Northwest. In fact, the talk show ministry you're listening to right now uses StarTouch as our internet provider. Experience the StarTouch difference. Get a free quote by visiting StarTouch.com.
I got the King of Kings and the Lord of Hosts. I got angel armies and the Holy Ghost. I got spirit filled, baptized by fire. I got a valley of bones that came alive. I got a cross, a hill, and an empty grave. I got a trumpet sound and one sweet name. Shake the gates of hell, the sinners and dark. I got my Jesus and the devil got to run. I got a song to make the devil go run.
Oh, that's a good song. We're going to have to play that tomorrow night, I think, you know, just because it's just
Run, Devil, Run.
Run, Devil, Run. That's the one. Okay, so we were talking about this and how to be able producer wants us to keep listening to it also. But in Philippians, because we want, now we're going to try to get into some, I want to say, solution. How we can deal with these certain things. But the scripture is very clear on how to be able to do this sort of thing and how it's going to require on our part a heart of that has been softened and willing and courageous, okay? And all that stuff the Lord will give us. But anyway, I'm going to read verse 10 of Philippians 4, and I want you to read 11 through 13, okay? It says, I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at length you have revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity.
Not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me.
Wow. So right now, as a result of that, you know, in Philippians, Paul is letting us know that, hey, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, he's not going to strengthen me to go in and to try to pursue getting something that I don't need in my life. But he will give me everything that I need to pursue what he knows I need in my life.
What will bring his glory.
Absolutely. Because when we do that, that's exactly what's going to end up taking place. He's going to be glorified as a result of it. Now, how is he going to be glorified? Well, when we start to share our experiences and our testimonies, right, with others about how we pursued something and all of a sudden it didn't come through, and I sought God, I sought Jesus, I sought to be able to do something different, and he revealed it to me. And this is what took place. And as a result of it, God ends up being glorified as a result of something that I was heading toward, you know, and not sure how to get out of, in a sense.
Yeah. You know, if you go back to Philippians 4, go back to verse 6, and it says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God."
Amen.
"And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus."
Yes.
And so there's nothing wrong with praying to God, saying, "Lord, if it be your will, would I be able to get that house? Mm-hmm. Maybe we can hold Bible studies there. Maybe it can be used for your glory. It would be a blessing to your kingdom somehow." But he also guarantees that in Christ Jesus, we will have peace if we don't get that house.
Yes.
Because
yes.
Maybe it wasn't his will. Maybe he has greater things in store. Mm. Or maybe he has lesser things in store for us that will bring him greater glory. And peace is what we really desire. Peace of mind.
Because peace of mind brings what? Contentment.
Contentment.
Right? To where we can sit there and say, you know what? I'm good with where I'm at right now. And obviously, it's not that the Lord wants us to just be, I believe, he doesn't want us just to be still. I don't believe there's any such gear as neutral in this walk with Christ. You're either going forward or you're going in reverse. Okay? And there's no neutral. And being content is being content knowing that he is alive in me. And when I seek him, he reveals more of the direction he wants me to go for this day. Okay? And he may say that, listen, I know you're getting caught up in what you want down the road, but let's wait until we get there.
Let's worry about today first.
Because is there not enough trouble, as his word says, in today? That we don't need to be thinking about the things tomorrow that will bring trouble because of our fear and anxiety and stuff, right?
No, because then we're going to miss the log in front of us and we're going to trip and fall on our faces this day.
Yeah, and maybe those who are following us will do the same thing, like our family, our wives, our children, you know, or those that are that seek counsel or authority with us, whether it be at work or whether it be in community, whatever that might be. There are those who are actually seeking us because of what they see in us. And so we want to be able to give that all the time, the true love of the Lord through us.
Okay? Amen. We want to be able to glorify God with how we spend our day. If others see us worrying about tomorrow, they're not going to want to follow after us. They're not going to want to follow after Jesus if they think it only brings worry.
Yes. So if we go to 1 Peter chapter 5, let me just go here. And I believe I've got it in, I think it's in verse 6 here. So part of what ends up having to take place with us is that, when I go to, and I can try, can't even see which one, I think it's verse 5. So likewise, I should do it in 4, that makes it a little easier. "And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. Likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another. For God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you. Then he goes on to remind us to be sober-minded and be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Those are things that are so important for us to be able to do. I mean, not only taking care of the business of actually casting our anxiety on the Lord and humbling ourselves to him, okay, and to others around us, but to be aware of what's going on around us. Because we can be actually sort of blinded, not seeing what's over to the side that's about ready to jump on you.
Yeah, and it's going to maybe take away what you have. You know, the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy.
Yes.
And so if you keep looking ahead to the worries of tomorrow, you might miss the troubles of today,
mm-hmm.
and you might lose what you do have.
And then to deal with the troubles of today, it's very simple. It's that we humble ourselves to him.
It's we humble ourselves and we submit ourselves to him.
And that's uncomfortable for guys.
We really don't want to.
We want to be able to have control. We want to be able to be the one that takes care of business. But truly, when we humble ourselves to the Lord, we'll be taking care of business. If I look and read the Word of God, I will see men who are probably a lot more influential than I am, okay, not only in life, not only physically, okay, but they humbled themselves to the Lord. God used them, okay, just as he will use me to be able to reach those that are in my life that he wants me to be able to reach.
Amen.
That's it?
That's it. Amen. You know, we have to seek God.
Yes.
You know, seek him and ask for that peace of mind, that contentment with what you have, and he will give it to you.
Amen.
Pray for the Holy Spirit, and he will give it to you.
Yes.
You know, you who knows how to give good gifts, even though you're evil, will not your Father give you, you know, what you ask for, the Holy
yes.
Spirit when you ask for it?
Yes.
I'm sure I floundered that a little bit, but
I think you got the point across.
The point, yeah, yes. is there.
Contentment. Well, let's do the best we can of humbling ourselves to the Lord and seeing if we can be content with what our lives are today. He will continue to change. So let's let him have our heart. Would you pray for our brothers?
Yes. Heavenly Father, I ask that you would give the brothers listening this day peace of mind. Peace of mind to know that you are with them and that you hold them in their hands. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.